Well, good morning. Welcome to the roundtable for this 22nd of August. It's Wednesday morning, and well, we almost canceled the show. We had nothing to talk about. I mean, just like, what the hell is there to talk about today? We got an email last night from one. I don't know if you did. You see it, Alan? One of our listeners said, "I can't believe this was like 9 o'clock, 9:30 last night." And they said, "I can't believe I have to wait 12 hours to hear you talk about what's going on right now." But so here we are. We're ready to talk about what's happening in the world, and there is a lot happening, so we'll get right to it, and we'll introduce everybody. Alan is here. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. We actually took in an afternoon movie yesterday. We went to see the Spike Lee thing.
Oh, and how was that?
I was blown away. I thought it was one of the best things I have ever seen.
That's what everybody says.
Ever seen in my entire life. I was prepared to say, oh, yeah, same old, but no, this was really good. And you can tell when the theater at 3:15 showing is almost filled. When it was unbelievable. The word is out that this is a very special film. So I just want to ask you, demand that everybody go out and see it.
It's Black Klansman is the name of the film, and it has three K's in the middle.
Yes,
KKK, Black K, and Klansman.
You go there, and then you walk out. And what do you see? What do you see? You watch, you turn, say, what's on CNN?
Yeah.
And you get Manafort. Yeah.
And the world
screen from one courthouse to the other.
It was a busy day. I will say that there was a point earlier in the morning when earlier in the day, we got word that Cohen was going to go to court. And we knew that the jury earlier had, in the Manafort case, had slipped a note to the judge, not slipped a note, but presented a note to the judge, passing notes in class.
While they were looking in opposite directions.
Yes, right. Asking about how they fill out the sheet. And we said, wouldn't it be something if those two stories broke at the same time? And then they did.
Yes, and there was some commentary last evening about the fact that if Mueller and the federal people in New York City had decided this was the week, and they were hoping to get this kind of a split-screen theater that they got.
Well, so who else is here today?
Oh, so let me introduce everybody. So we also have a retired League of Women Voters legislative director. 40 years, is that right?
40 years in the legislature.
40 years. My goodness. Barbara Bartoletti is here. She, for any of us who have worked in Albany for any length of time, we know Barbara extremely well. She, if you ever had to find her, you just roam the halls of the Capitol, and there she is.
That's
and
right.
So
to the detriment of my knees and feet after 40 years.
So now you're out and you can speak your mind, and we're thrilled you're here.
Thank you very much.
Very
for
nice
me.
To have you with us. Oh, and look who else is here. Corporate attorney Rich Honan, and not only is he a corporate attorney, but he is the best in the state of New York. You're attorney of the year.
For Albany, for a corporate law in Albany.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's congratulations. Yeah. That's very nice.
There's not a lot of us. I think next year is the other guy's turn.
And how is it decided?
I pay a lot of people. And,
No, I know. I get it.
No.
Is there an election?
Yeah. It's Best Lawyers in America. It's actually a peer. It's a peer review.
Oh, boy.
So that means you're respected by your peers.
Yeah.
So here's the question I have for you. Have your appearances here on WAMC added to, in other words, have we made you everything you are today?
You've certainly contributed to it. Hang on, I have to hug Rosemary.
Rosemary, just there.
I'm so happy to be with you today. I'm hoping to see you squirm.
Rosemary picked a great day to come back.
Oh,
she
yeah.
Did. It was like a gift yesterday.
Oh, well, we're thrilled.
It's very nice to see you.
Well, hi, everybody. For those of you listening, Rosemary just walked in. And so Rosemary, let me introduce you to everybody. This is Alan.
I remember him. How are you feeling?
Well, you know.
This is Barbara Bartoletti. Yes, 40 years in the legislature, you knew from the League of Women Voters.
Yes,
retired now, and now she can say what's on her mind. So she's here, and she's talking, which is great. And of course, you know Rich, and I don't know if you heard me mention, but best corporate lawyer in the state of New York.
That's not
what. Who, what
pick,
is it called?
Who
best
that?
Corporate lawyer in Albany.
Lawyer of the year.
Capital lawyer of the year. That's right. Lawyer of the year.
Corporate in Albany. It's a very
the president
small
could use you.
Yeah, right.
No, wrong one. He needs a criminal attorney. Yeah.
I thought that was
going to
drown
attorney.
Out all the other news, but apparently not.
All right. Well, good morning.
Thank you.
And Rosemary Romeo is here, investigative journalist, and it's her. She's been here for the past couple days.
I actually have one more day if you can take
really?
Me tomorrow.
Really?
Yes.
Wonderful.
We have a calendar in the house. My mother can't remember things great. So we have this big calendar. My sister writes in the dates, but she wrote the date in wrong. Tomorrow's the 23rd.
Well, now
not
that's
today.
What you originally told me,
yes,
and I
the
had
23rd.
You on for tomorrow. So, yes. The,
you
so
were right.
So
yes.
I won't say goodbye yet.
No,
great.
no goodbyes.
Well, we just say 5 minutes of the show. That's great. all right. So we're set. Everybody knows who's here. We're ready to go and talk about the issues of the day. So we'll begin with it's hard to know which of these stories is, I guess, bigger than the other. But I'm going to go with the Cohen story as the top pick to start off, just because it's fun.
I'll bet you there's someone in Washington that doesn't think it's fun.
I just think it's fun. Here we go. So Michael Cohen pled guilty yesterday, and it was let's see. There we go. I got everything now. He pled guilty. This was a he goes into court and he says The language is interesting, but he says that he arranged payments to women at Trump's direction. He made the extraordinary admission in court that Mr. Trump had directed him to arrange payments to two women during the 2016 campaign to keep them from speaking publicly about affairs that they said they had with Mr. Trump. Mr. Cohen acknowledged the illegal payments while pleading guilty to breaking campaign finance laws and other charges. These were all felonies, by the way. A litany of crimes that revealed both his shadowy involvement in Mr. Trump's circle and his own corrupt business dealings. He told the judge in U.S. District Court in Manhattan that the payments to the woman were made, quote, in coordination with and at the direction of a candidate for federal office, implicating the president in a federal crime. Quote, I participated in this conduct, which on my part took place in Manhattan for the principal purpose of influencing the election for president of 2016, Mr. Cohen said.
You know what's interesting about this is there's no real indication that part of his plea deal has to do with talking to Mueller.
Although Lanny Davis is out there begging them to come talk to him.
Well, Barbara, that's exactly what I was about to say, which is that it's almost as if they're trying like crazy to get Mueller to pay attention
to them. That's right. That's right. And in fact, I think the thing that bothered me this morning, didn't hear it last night at all, but this morning from Lanny Davis, just as a good government, past good government person.
By the way, Lanny Davis is currently the formerly with the Clinton administration, but now is the lawyer and spokesperson for the Cohen.
Right. And he was literally saying there, we've started a fund for him, Tell the Truth Fund or whatever it was called, and please give to this fund. And I'm thinking, really? You want us to give to a fund for someone who willfully was breaking the law for all this time? Really? That doesn't sound like something I am willing to do.
Is it Strzok who raised $325,000 in his GoFundMe?
Well, I think
and somebody's got to pay for Lanny Davis.
Well, true. But I think so. I think they felt that Strzok had been, although he wasn't a sterling character either, but that
nobody
he had
is.
Been.
No,
no good
no,
characters
no.
in any of this. They're all disgusting.
And they say, you know, anything Trump touches turns dead.
You know, that is an interesting thing, is how people who are so loyal to him have all turned. Does he have any friends anymore, including his wife and children? I mean, really, how did he lose Cohen this way? How did he just
ignored him, I think, instead of bringing him in. Somebody said yesterday, if he had brought him to Washington, given him whatever, but brought him to Washington, kept him close.
Give him Mama Rosa's job.
Yeah.
She could do it, he could have. You know?
He wouldn't be in this pickle at the moment. But he had, you know, all the best people around him. They're all slimy. I mean, really, in their private lives
before
they knew him, they were
slimy.
Okay,
so my question, Barbara, would be then, does he look for those kinds of people? You know, to be around him. In other words, is he? It isn't that they just turned out to be that way, right?
Right.
Right. Well, these are his associates. Right. These are his people.
It's kind
yes,
of like
but for
the
what
mafia.
Reason? In other words, does he choose
well, but
people
it's,
who
it's
are
two
dirty?
Different. It's two different analyses, though, right? I mean, Cohen was, you know, one of his lawyers for some years. You know,
11.
Just yeah, right. For years before right. he was, you know, openly involved in politics, and was doing, you know, New York City kind of thing. Manafort, my understanding is he basically, while he might have known him, he brought him in for the campaign
for the delegation
to win the delegates.
Right. And also because, you know, frankly, a lot of the Republican operatives, you know, didn't want to be involved,
but
right?
They were concerned.
But if you were running for president, wouldn't you vet the people that came near your campaign? Wouldn't you know that this guy had been, you know, a henchman and lawyer for the guy in the Ukraine? I mean, Yankovic.
Well, I don't think there was any. First of all, I don't know that he would call himself a henchman. I think what he would say was he was a registered lobbyist, and that's what he did.
He wasn't registered. That's another problem.
He was registered. He wasn't fully registered for every one of his
right.
lobbying.
Okay.
All right,
he
Rosemary.
Was registered, he wasn't fully.
The same
registered.
Problem that John Podesta's brother had as well.
Right. Yes.
But either way, all I was saying was I think the analyses on that. I think the Michael Cohen relationship goes back, you know, there was a
decade or
yeah,
so.
Which
yeah.
goes back to my point is that, you know, one of the things about Trump that you might like, even as a Democrat, even as a liberal who finds him cruel and incompetent, is that he is loyal to people. He doesn't like to fire them. He gives you a chance. But now we found he lied to Omarosa about her firing. He just abandoned Michael Cohen. I mean, he got him into trouble and then just left him. Maybe that was lawyer's advice.
Wasn't Michael Cohen the so-called lawyer who was taping conversations and then yes. played them publicly?
Well, he also said he was also going to take a bullet for the guy.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Why is it so bad that he was taping conversations? It's legal in New York.
Not for a lawyer.
Why?
For a lawyer to tape a conversation
without the client knowing and then playing it publicly? Okay, well, the playing publicly
In the list of unethical things that lawyers do, and there's a lot of them, that's kind of right up there at the top.
Okay, but here's something, Rich, that I think we should remember. All along, I think both Manafort and Cohen have been playing the potential get-out-of-jail card, yeah, and have been hoping that it would happen. When it would appear that for some reason Cohen thought that wasn't going to happen, that's when he began to try to raise the stakes at the poker table a little bit more by saying, you know, I got to think about my family first. I got to think about So, Rosemary, I know.
That's just it's so. Yeah.
I think Cohen lost his case the minute he hired Lanny Davis. Cohen got right. played.
And why is that, Rich?
Because he hired a Democratic operative who was going to sell Cohen down the river. And look, the guy had, according to what he pled guilty to, he had at least 4 years of tax fraud, right? I thought one or maybe two counts of bank fraud. So
it
he had issues.
Was the one count.
Was it just one?
Yeah,
and then it
was just one.
You know, and so he was. If you look at all those crimes apart from the alleged campaign fraud, he was looking at what 55 years.
Yeah.
To which he pled three to five, which tells me that the campaign counts were really a throw-in because they didn't add anything to his time. But that's all that Lanny Davis was interested in. I don't think Lanny Davis is not here to defend Michael Cohen. He's here to try and, you know, out. Donald Trump.
Well, it's the same as Michael Avenatti. I don't think he really cares about Stormy Davis.
Oh,
all
absolutely.
That much.
Daniel.
It's a whole, yeah. Stormy Davis. So, what is it with
so
me and
do
names?
They? So they all look really, really bad.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the things that so makes me feel sad is that this is what our country is portrayed around the world. I mean, this is, we all, and Alan knows this, we all portray New York State as this culture of corruption. Well, now, internationally, we are known as just a sea of corruption with not only the cabinet people that have, you know, done their thing for their own perks,
Price,
but, you know, we have all these people, and if you add in all of, I mean, we haven't talked about the hacking yet, the 25 Russians who've been indicted, or the, you know, the other folks that have gone down, they've
all pleaded
guilty.
And you're linking that to Trump as well? You're linking the Russian hacking to Trump?
No,
because you're already linking Manafort's activities 10 years before he came on the campaign. You're linking that with Trump, which to me seems attenuated.
That's the vetting issue I have a problem with. But But I think we have to let that investigation complete itself, and then we may know more.
Which investigation?
The Mueller investigation. Okay. Yes, and I mean, they're not really, they're not really actually linked. You are right about that. But so what? This is Trump who has brought these people in and has trusted them and our government to them, and they are all excoriated. And whatever gets them out, I'm happy with. And yes, I back on Russian hacking, I think every American should be concerned about that.
Absolutely.
I do not want to hear about how we have ruined other elections and assassinated leaders. We have, and that's terrible. Wish we had and hope we never do again. But if it's happening in our country, why are we not concerned about it and doing something about it?
But maybe you should ask the Obama administration, who did exactly nothing
Rich,
about it.
That's bull. That is bull. Because
I almost got you.
I caught myself.
29 minutes in. Joe almost had to hit the button.
I had the button.
I had to hit the button, yeah. No, right. The New York Times came out with that. Obama did a terrible job, and we admitted he did it for the worst of reasons also, because he thought Hillary was going to win and he would protect her.
But,
so you're right.
But
we have lots of blame. Let's stop it.
Isn't it possible that he didn't do a terrible job? Isn't it possible?
Who?
Obama. Isn't it possible that what the Russians were doing and what everybody else doing, that, that the term meddling is in fact the correct term? Isn't it possible that what did we find that they had Facebook ended up taking down what like 42 pages or something
at 652 yesterday.
And we will get to
how
the story.
How many billions of pages are there on Facebook?
I'm sure I don't do Facebook.
$100,000.
You may be right. So let's Mueller go all and figure it all out and then tell us. But yeah, let's not say there's nothing there, because we don't know that.
Well,
yet.
Okay. So we're out of time. I have like 30
claiming you.
25 seconds before we have to go to a break here.
I got some.
But the other issue. How do you think you become Lawyer of the Year? We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about a lot of other stuff, and we'll have letters, and there's a lot more going on. You all calm down. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Barbara Bartoletti, and Rich Honan. And we welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org. We haven't even gotten to the Manafort story yet, but we'll get to that in a second. We'll do a couple of letters first, and then we'll get to the others.
Whatever you like, Joe. Taping Trump. I find it ironic that Michael Cohen and Amorosa felt the need to keep recorded conversations they had with Donald Trump and some other Trump associates. That suggests to me that neither trusted the Donald's integrity. Loyalty, in Trump's eyes, is a one-way street. How many others in the White House felt a similar need because they felt they cannot trust in Donald's support? And that's from Mike in Glen Falls. All right. You may pronounce it with an S. I don't. Spam. Yeah.
You mean the proper way? Yes.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And Daniel says, I am amused by the self-righteousness of everyone, of all the news media, including NPR, who is shocked by Russia and others using social media to try to influence politics in the United States. Can you imagine that the U.S. and our allies are not doing the same thing in Russia, Iran, and multiple other countries, not to speak of declaring that we want to and have helped overthrow a long list of other governments? And that's from Daniel in Claverick. And John says, if anybody wants to talk, go ahead. John says, panel, wishing Rosemary safe travels for us to create a better country for her return.
Oh, thank you. Yes,
sweet.
I do.
Okay. And our very good friend Eric from the Berkshires says, witchcraft. The witch hunt comes up with double toil and trouble, just like the bard predicted. Love symmetry. And that's from Eric in Richmond. And Keith says, Trump's latest tweet made me laugh out loud. Trump tweeted, if anyone is looking for a good lawyer, I would strongly suggest you don't retain the services of Michael Cohen. said the guy who claims to hire only the best people, but has five people indicted or convicted for felonies that worked for his campaign. And that's from Keith. And then Don says, Trump and Cohen, every tyrant needs enablers and fixers. Trump had Cohen, of course. Trump is also enabled by the feckless Republican leadership and his various apologists. And that's from Don.
Yeah, that's a real issue, I think, that we don't talk about as much as we should. Is we have three branches of government in this country. And that really, I mean, when I would teach in Armenia, you really talked about the pillars of democracy and our checks and balances. And we don't seem to have a Republican, which, and they control it. I mean, let's give them, you know, they control both houses. Why is it that they, except for the people who are retiring, I mean, I know why it is. It's because he has a base that the Republican leaders are afraid to alienate. But what about their, and this would be a good one for you. What is it
She's pointing to me, by the way.
Yes, I'm pointing. Yes, I'm pointing. Why is it that these people don't put country before they put party?
Because I think a lot of the Republicans are just, you know, part of the swamp, just the way a lot of the other elected officials are part of the swamp. And I think one of the things that happened right from the beginning with Trump's campaign was he called out a number of kind of traditional Republicans as being, you know, part of the same the kind of
establishment.
The establishment Republicans. You do or you don't.
I do agree with that. If he was going to be the big, okay, we're going to shake up everything thing, what did he have those people in office for? And let us start with Kavanaugh, another new swamp monster being welcomed in. Why are we not stopping? I don't think they can. Can the Democrats do anything to stop that? Trump is picking the guy who may very well be deciding his legal fate. That is not right.
Yeah, I want to go.
Oh, and one more thing. I'm also worried, as we have discovered, that Trump is the only person, the president, and in that case, that unfortunately right now is Trump, is the only person who can decide on a nuclear attack. We need to change that law. That's more scary than all the other stuff.
Well, there are several, laws we need to change a lot. Outgrowing from this.
Alan.
Yes,
Alan.
Yeah.
I wanted to just say something in lieu of what Barbara said. Because, you know, the fact of the matter is we have a great potential constitutional crisis in this country. It isn't only that everybody isn't there doing their jobs. It's that somehow the dice got rolled and one party ended up running everything. And now I don't know where we're going. I'm scared to death that if Trump doesn't get brought down, and I think he will, but if he doesn't get brought down, and if we see his admiration for the fascists and for the people who are the great dictators around the world and the Putins and the rest of it, that we will have lost this very short experiment in democracy that we have been dealing with. Mm-hmm. So I think this is the worst crisis that this country has ever faced.
So I might kind of point to the Civil War as a little bit of a bigger crisis, but
to,
you know, I mean, if you want to run around with your hair on fire, I understand. That, but
haven't
we
seen?
Okay,
I don't quite.
He wears
that.
A hat.
I don't quite get that hair on fire thing. Yes,
but isn't it? But Alan, isn't it true that this happens on both? Take
yeah,
Trump. It's hard. It's no. But
let's
isn't
bring
this
up Hillary's email now. Yeah, they all do it.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying take whoever is the president out of it. Doesn't it always seem like the party in power? You know, maybe has complete power for some very short time, and then they do something that
straight
immediately
up.
Starts deteriorating their power. Everybody who gets control of all three
right.
You know,
branches
is not really branches, right? But you know, House,
independent,
Senate,
and
they have control for 2 years, and then they always lose control of the House, and then they lose control of the Senate. And
you
then
know
they
what?
Lose,
you
but
know
it
what?
Seems
Rich,
to go on both sides.
You know what, Rich? We can only hope what you're saying is so. The downside in this is it's so serious. It is so serious what he clearly wants to do with this country.
What is that?
Well, he
what
likes being on.
What does he clearly want to do?
He clearly wants to be a dictator.
Yeah, he wants to be a king. I think he likes the regalness of being
clearly
king.
He wants to be a dictator. He clearly wants to be as corrupt as any politician we have ever seen in terms of his own personal, what he gets as an individual. I think, you know, if he were to succeed, if he were to become a Duterte, if he were to become a Putin, look at the relationship with Putin. If that isn't scary enough to send anybody down the rabbit hole. You know, I mean, it is, you're right. We've been lucky so far. that in these elections. But you look at what the Republicans are trying to do. Barbara knows all about this. They're doing everything in their power to stop the American people from voting.
Oh, yes. Including, we have to do something in this country. And I know there's a commission out there by Eric Holder, but we have to do something in this country about gerrymandering. And it's on both sides. Yeah. Nobody looks good on that. And until we decide we're going to do this by whatever we can call an independent commission, California has tried it to a varying degree. Iowa has been doing it for 30 years, but everybody looks alike in Iowa, and that's not a big, you don't have to worry about the homogeneity of Iowa. But until we decide that the people that are going to represent us are actually in competitive races so that people actually do have a choice. Right now, people don't really get much of a choice. It's far right or far left.
Which, Alan, has been, Alan, you've been talking about this for
yes.
years.
Well,
yeah,
I,
Alan,
well,
I've talked about
well,
it for 40
I
years.
Have. And I've often said, we're sending our people to die in foreign lands to preserve democracy, and yet we say that Shelley Silver or Boss Hasty now or Flanagan. Is Flanagan in the
still
Senate?
There, I guess.
They go to the great computer and say, computer, draw me districts where we can lose.
Right.
That's wrong.
That's absolutely wrong.
You're all absolutely right.
Yeah.
But look at the name of it. Right, it's gerrymandering. It goes back to Eldridge Gerry. I mean, he wrote the Judiciary Act
the
of 1790. Right,
yes.
I mean,
yes.
But I'm saying it goes back to the
it
very
does.
Roots of the country,
and it does because those. I mean, let's face it, our founders, as great a men as they were one all male, two all white, three all property owners, and we kind of have
and in many cases those property
slaves.
Were slaves.
And we kind of have had our traditions evolve from that. And maybe it's time, really, we are no longer the country we were in 1779. We are now almost a minority-majority country.
This is also so nice and idealistic, and I'd love all these changes. I would settle right now to getting the felons out of government.
Yeah, you make a good point, Rosemary. Oh, yeah.
We've had these problems.
True.
Gerrymandering is not new.
Division
is not new. All of this. What is different is that we have this collection, this critical mass of very corrupt individuals.
And by the way,
Rosemary,
not, exactly. Not only at the federal level, but here at the state level. I'm watching a fascinating display as each of the attorney general candidates are now going out of their way to distance themselves from Andrew Cuomo and saying, when asked the question, would you investigate him? They all say, even the ones who clearly are not sexually in bed, but philosophically in bed with him, like Tish James from New York, saying, yes, I would investigate.
That's the way it should be. The attorney general should be free to investigate anyone. And I would mention that Supreme Court justices, that's also a good policy for them. They should be willing to investigate anyone.
But at what point is any of this, I know everybody says this, but at what point is any of this on the voters?
Right.
At what point do we have some responsibility to say, I'm not going to choose between two corrupt people and somehow make some kind of difference?
By the way, that's one of the reasons, Rich. The Green people really have been on us. To have them on the air.
Mm-hmm. The Green Party.
That's right.
Yeah.
I wasn't quite sure where he was going with that.
And we have. There's danger because our system has been set up in such a way, that you get two major candidates, and I happen to believe that you have to choose one over the other. But the downside on the Green thing is that while they have great ideas, no two ways about it, they could cost the better person of the two an election. And they all deny it, of course.
Yes.
They all say up and down that it's not so.
Well, right back to who was the consumer advocate?
Oh, yeah,
Ralph Nader probably decided that election.
Well, you can go to WAMC.org.
People would say Ross Perot.
And Ross Perot, exactly.
And look for Alan's screaming match with Ralph Nader. Just write in Alan's screaming match with Ralph Nader.
Well, I really do I really do think you've got something going here with voters. If you go out and talk to the public, they shrug their shoulders and they say, well, you know, I worry about kids. I worry about my health care. But I don't think I'm going to vote. You know, yes, my vote doesn't. Either they say my vote doesn't matter or they say they're all crooks.
Right.
Yeah. And then they abdicate and we've seen elections even recently during these primaries of people who have won by what? The guy in Kansas won by 192
right.
votes. So, I mean, voting does matter.
Well,
you
many,
can make
many
a difference.
How people voted for de Blasio? All right, in the actual election, right?
Or,
it was something less than 50%.
Or even to,
well, even,
even
the presidential elections. Every presidential right. election hovers around 50%.
Yeah.
Think about that. One out of two Americans
yes.
who are eligible to vote don't, and often the people who should be voting the most, because they are the most screwed among our
yes.
population,
mm-hmm.
don't vote. Don't
That's
vote.
Right. Either because there are too many barriers to them here in New York State, we know, but even nationally, But I've had legislators over the many years tell me that, you know, I can probably get elected by my family and friends. And the young woman, Alexandria
Ocasio,
12 to 15% of the vote.
Yeah.
I mean, that was like 1,800 people.
Well, maybe her opponent should have showed up at the debate instead
true.
Of sending his
all
chief of
that
staff.
True. But, all yeah. that true. All that true. But you can't, you know.
No,
you,
although, right. I'm sorry, one last
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, I just have to take a break.
But one last thing. You are absolutely right, Rich. But one of the things that is so fascinating is because of that election and because there was a 50-point difference, 50
mm-hmm.
points
yeah.
between
mm-hmm.
what the pollsters said mm-hmm. was going to happen and actually happened. That's what's got Andrew scared to death. Get your hand on the red button, Joe.
All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we will continue, and we'll talk about Paul Manafort when we come back. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. Well, the other big story yesterday, of course, was a jury found former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort guilty Tuesday on tax and bank fraud charges, a major, if not complete, victory for special counsel Robert Mueller as he continues to investigate the president's associates. The jury convicted Manafort on 8 of the 18 against him and said it was deadlocked on the other 10. U.S. District Judge T.S. Ellis declared a mistrial on those charges. Manafort stood impassively, his hands folded in front of him, and showed little reaction as the clerk read the word guilty 8 times. As through most of the 3-week trial in Alexandria, Virginia, Manafort, 69 years old, showed no emotion as he looked at the 6 women and 6 men who convicted him. So, President Trump reacted to the verdict by denouncing Mueller's investigation. Paul Manafort's a good man, the president told reporters in West Virginia. The verdict, he said, doesn't involve me, but I still feel, you know, it's a sad thing that happened.
And that's several of the same words he used with Libby, that he was a good man. And it seems, I think, to indicate that, and I don't know when he'll do it, or maybe the people near him can, you know, jump and hold him down and keep the Twitter away from him. But I think that portends that he is seriously thinking about a pardon.
You know, one of the things I think is different between Cohen and Manafort is that I think Cohen realized, I ain't getting pardoned by this guy, and he
yeah.
lost faith. And Manafort hasn't given that up
right.
yet. Manafort thinks it is
right.
going to happen.
Manafort is a gambler, and he has been. And it was a gamble to take on the position of campaign manager for no money, by the way, for Trump, because he likes the money, and he's in trouble. He's in debt to bad Russian people, and he took a chance, and he's doing the same thing with this with the trial. It was not smart to go to trial and face 18.
And he's got another one coming
he's
next
got
week.
Another one, yeah.
Right.
So this was not a good move. This was the move of a gambler who has nothing to lose.
I have a legal
I agree,
question. But when you're
I was going to say on the criminal defense attorney side, I mean his attorneys are saying, you know, we had 18 counts, hung on 10 of them. You know, that's considered.
So if you're the defense
in the world of criminal defense, that's always what you're trying to do, right? To chip away, because
right,
you know, especially
right.
with the feds,
so
you're not going to get a full win.
If you're the prosecutor, do you go for a retrial?
Oh yeah,
No.
Absolutely.
They're going to use that to bargain, I think. Yeah. They're going to bargain at that. Right. They could go back for a trial again.
Right.
Or Manafort could start talking, which is what they've always wanted.
The feds, they do not want it. They don't want a hung jury.
No. The question I have for you, though,
I think they're happy with
maybe
what
you
they
could
got.
Answer for us, is what impact do you think the judge had in the shenanigans he displayed from the bench several different times? Do you think the jurors were confused because this judge really didn't give them good instructions, and therefore they didn't know exactly? I mean, they always seemed, every time they'd pass a note, they always seemed rather confused, and he never helped them.
Well, no, I thought the biggest thing that look, it was obvious that he was keeping, you know, a kind of a close watch on the prosecutors, and not letting them go beyond certain parameters. But I think the thing that really did not help the jury was there's usually, and in this case, there was a chart that the prosecutors had that they actually, I think they actually referred to it during their summation, where they said, here's count number one, here's the documentary evidence to it. And they never put it into evidence. And as a result, the jury said, can we see the chart?
And the judge said no.
Yeah, because it wasn't evidence. I think that was one of the things.
I think it was great confusing. That the judge was as strict as he was on the prosecutors. The last thing you want is for anyone to be saying, oh, the prosecutors were allowed to run Russia. I think had the been a defense, which there was not, he would have been just as hard on the defense lawyers, keeping them within the rules too. So I have no problem.
He certainly wanted to move this trial quickly, though.
Yeah, and I think that was good, and I think that I think Manafort's people are up against very excellent prosecutors. That team has been carefully put together.
Yeah, but the feds should never lose. I mean, really, they really should never lose.
Come on, they put 18.
They should never lose, Rosemary.
Lose. They won, Rich.
No, I'm not saying this is really spin. No, I'm not saying.
Felony counts.
I'm not saying they didn't
56
win.
56 years.
But I'm saying, in general, you know, the United States government sees fit to bring somebody to trial, they should really never lose.
They did not lose. They brought an extremely complicated case with 18 counts in it, and they got a huge number. That's all they need.
Well, I'm looking forward to what happens in the next.
Okay, but
the next trial. Yeah.
Okay, but you know, we have a country that is politically divided.
Yes.
Yep.
And the chances on one of these juries of getting somebody on there who really wants to nullify law is always a possibility, and who comes on and says, you know, I think these guys are throwing too many things at it. I don't care. Don't tell me. I don't like it. No.
And I think it was very interesting that voir dire took only a morning. I mean, and a trial like this, they did it very quickly. They decided these jurors very quickly.
No, it's because people do not read. Believe me, as a journalist, I've seen this. Every trial I ever covered,
it's a real
major
problem.
Cases, and they go, well, have you heard? Have you read anything about this? No, I don't really read politics.
Yes, I've heard
don't,
that many,
don't let
many
me get
times,
into my right. Americans are stupid thing. I really have ranted enough about that.
Before you get on a plane and leave the country.
And the last time I did it, I heard from a lot of people who had served on juries after I said, you know, when they ask you, do you know this? Do you know that? And you said, no.
Yes.
And then so the people who are supposed to be the biggest know-nothings, I don't know anything about any of this stuff, are the people who you put on juries.
That's
I heard from a lot of jurors who said, I was on a jury once and everybody was really intelligent. I just want you to know that.
Oh, yes. I've helped in the Defenders Association. They have those they try and teach their prosecutors or defense attorneys, whatever they turn out to be, how to deal with juries.
Right.
And it's absolutely fascinating how they go at, and unfortunately, because I have a son who's law enforcement, and I had the position I had for 40 years, I never even got a chance to be on a jury. Never, I thought was unfortunate.
Let journalists go on.
They wouldn't let me on either.
Oh, have you read anything about this? Yeah, I've read everything about it.
I wrote it.
Yeah, I wrote some.
In my county, I got on, but that's all right.
That's fine. I think that juries actually work really hard.
I do, too.
And they are intelligent. They're just uninformed, which is what makes me crazy.
Well, in this jury.
You have to be informed.
Yeah, but they get it right so often. I mean, really. I mean,
yeah, they do most of the time.
The amount of, look at the amount of evidence, the amount
that's
of documents.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
And yes, they are sequestered during the deliberation.
But they said no longer are they. Juries don't get sequestered all
they're
that much anymore.
They're trying not to because that pressures you. When you're sequestered like that, you want to rush to get it done. You don't want to consider as fully. Sequestering is not a good idea.
Yeah. Well, now, of course, with this trial, you couldn't walk across the lobby to get in your car without hearing about what was going on. So the Manafort jurors, I thought, had a huge problem that they had to deal with.
But the judge never released their names, right?
They asked that they not be released to the jury, and also, and then he counseled them. He said it was his advice. It was nothing more, but that it would keep the process more pure if they did not talk to the media.
I've always had a problem with judges saying that. I think that is not good. We have a system that relies on citizens in juries, and we should be talking about it. But there's danger and security now.
Yeah,
and so I'm more conflicted about it than I used to be. If I were in a jury, I'd say, hey, I'll be out in the driveway. See you later. Let's talk. I took names and notes for you. Probably why I'm never going to get on a jury.
Going to say that. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue and wrap up after news with Ray Graff. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable. We got everything worked out.
We're talking about contraception.
Contraception.
We did get a letter saying one at a time, please.
We're just overexcited. We'll be good.
Okay. Alan has some letters, then we'll do that, and then we'll move on to some other topics as well.
Okay. And Alan says one at a time, please. Okay. And let's see here. Steve says, Manafort verdict. Rosemary, I love your opinions, but today you're too much of a bull in a china shop. I usually disagree with Rich Honan, but I want to hear his perspective, not you speaking over him. My recent grand jury service suggests he is right, capital R-I-G-H-T, that the federal prosecutors should always win. Ham sandwich, anybody? I want to hear more from him about that.
Can I just say, we're actually having an actual conversation.
That's right.
And I understand that on the air it sounds like we're interrupting each other, but we're making eye contact.
The visual cues aren't there.
No one's being rude to anybody. I mean, we're talking about important things, and I think if you were sitting here, the conversation flows much more than if you're listening on the radio. All of you need to come down to the studio and just sit in.
Well, I learned the other day, if you do cut Rosemary off, she goes, "What, are you going to cut me off now?" So she'll tell you.
Also,
she has people protesting.
She'll tell you that.
Well, to be a bull in a china shop, the prosecutors did win the case. I just simply don't want him to portray this as a loss.
Also, we're a panel, and people say, "You people," and what they often will do when they write to us is say, "Because one person said something." It's always you people all said. It's not true. The whole point about a panel is we have these discussions and we disagree a lot. Okay.
But we like one another.
So far.
Well,
well, I've only met you shortly ago.
Yeah. Okay. My shelf life usually after about an hour is when it starts to go. I'm sorry.
So we made you everything you are. Don't forget it.
That's why you got that lawyer award.
Yeah.
It was WAMC.
Yeah. Timothy says, on this morning's NBC interview with Lanny Davis, Davis said Cohen would not accept a pardon from Trump. You know, I think Lanny Davis and Cohen are in a bad spot. I think they are desperate to get him off with a very light sentence, and they are going to do anything they can to make this thing happen. The problem with Cohen is he's such a despicable liar that they face the same thing that the Cuomo-related trials, faced when they put, what's his face?
Joe Prococo?
No, the other one.
Todd Howe.
We get it, three tries.
The guy who the governor's office said, this guy's got to work there, and then he ended up doing all that.
But, right. You're right about that.
I will say, one thing, Alan, I think Michael Cohen's in a very bad spot. I think Lanny Davis got everything he wanted. I think Lonnie Davis got, you know, he got his platform
back into the spotlight.
Yeah, back into the spotlight. He took his swings at, you know, he you know, dealt Trump a blow. I think he got everything he wanted. For a lawyer to say we would not accept a pardon,
but several
that's just great. That's just great advocacy.
Why do you think that he dumped his first set of lawyers? Money?
Yeah.
Is it just money? Strictly money?
There's no way Michael. I don't know this for a fact. There's no way Michael Cohen is paying Lanny Davis's fees, right? I mean,
I would agree.
Is that why they went out on crowds, whatever it's called, and tried to? Yeah, I mean, that kind of that made me cringe this morning.
I don't even know what he's charging. Maybe he's not. I don't know.
Well,
but I'd be very surprised if Michael Cohen was paying every dollar of Lanny's
fees.
Well,
several former federal prosecutors that were on last night certainly intimated strongly that that Mueller's team. Is already that even though there was no cooperation agreement, that will happen and they will get everything they need from Michael Cohen.
Okay. What more
well, let's
they get?
See. I don't know.
Well, that's right, and we don't know.
That's
we
right.
have no idea
that's right.
how much these guys have. I have a feeling they have a hell
I
of
do
a lot.
Too.
When you saw the president's counsel again sit up there for 30 hours, think about that. 30 hours, 10 hours at a time. Let's just say. Even if the White House is right, and who knows if they're right, that he didn't say anything to hurt the president specifically, he still gave them enough information over there with the special counsel so that, as the old saying goes, the foot bone is attached to the ankle bone. And so, in other words, they have a lot of places. They have a lot of places to go.
And that was all with Trump's blessing and consent. They couldn't have done that without Trump waiving several privileges.
Yeah. Well, was he just incompetent or—
Or he's innocent, and he said, I don't care what they ask you, tell them the truth.
Yeah. Oh, that just doesn't sound like Trump.
Yeah, well,
that just doesn't
I have this
sound
terrible
like
fear. My first teaching job was at the Eagleton Institute of Politics at Rutgers, and I could swear I had a student named Lanny Davis. Now, I'm so old, but I looked him up the other day. I think he's too old to have been down there, but... God.
I had William Kennedy teach me journalism. When
oh,
I was
yeah,
at
that was
State.
Good. That was good.
He sat in for one of the classes.
Why not?
Because why did he have to quit now?
Who? What?
Kennedy, the Supreme Court Justice.
William Kennedy.
I'm sorry, I'm totally off on names.
We're talking about Ironweed.
Yeah,
I thought you were going to do the. I thought you were going to do the one thing.
He sat in on my journalism class when I was in 1981 or whatever.
I thought you were going to do the one thing you're not allowed to do in Albany. Cast any aspersion on Kennedy
that's
the
right.
author.
He was great.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay, so that's from Timothy. And then...
I'm stuck on the Supreme Court today.
And then Ruth says, what does Rich say to Trump's claim that he knew the best people? Just that. Although I guess he never said the best what, he certainly knows and brought the best grifters and crooks. Also, safe travels to Rosemary. Enjoyed hearing her the last few days.
Thank you.
Look, I think Trump does have a lot of good people around him. I think there's always going to be a few bad hangers-on, and you know, they get peeled away from the herd, and you know, you saw what happened. I think Cohen was always probably at a level that you would not consider
Who do you think are the good ones?
Oh, I think yes. I think Mattis.
Yes,
I think the Secretary
Mattis
of State.
Has been
I think the
for
Secretary of Defense. I think that Kelly. Actually, I think most of the military people.
Yeah, but
are
he doesn't
strong.
Listen.
I
military.
Think Christian Nielsen. I know you guys probably hate her. Yeah, of course you hate her. Of course. But
locking up children in cages sort of puts me off.
Sessions. Really? Could you say he's the best Attorney General?
Sessions is a. I've been on this show a million times and said he's been a disaster from day one.
Good.
Sessions is a walking disaster.
Just checking.
Pompeo and Mattis.
And Kelly.
But remember.
And Nielsen. And,
poor Mr. Kelly. He's kind of off in a corner.
Yeah, but also, Rosemary, I don't place the same. I think the more important cabinet positions are things like state, defense, and now Homeland Security.
And he doesn't disagree, and Rich, he doesn't agree with those people. That's what's so interesting. He quite frequently takes a different tack than
That's
they're
right.
taking. I agree with you. I think those people are decent. I think they are, but honestly, it would appear he doesn't listen. And that has something to do with it.
Yeah, he doesn't even notify them before he does things. He just does them, and then they have to kind of catch up.
I think it's more basic than that. I think he has taken a long time to find good people. He has not supported them. He's lost a lot of people. I think he just doesn't have enough good people.
Well, I think part of it is it's a hard environment to go work for that White House. One, because of him and his personality, but the other thing is... you know, it's hard to get confirmed. You know, you're in limbo for 14, 15 months. A lot of these people have real jobs. And you know, what do you do when you're in between? I think that's part of it. I think also there's a lot of, I don't think he wants to rely as much on the traditional politicians. That's what happened with Sessions.
So, Rich,
you know, look how bad that was.
So, Rich, let me ask a question.
When, yeah.
You know, my job as CEO here at WAMC, is I have to make certain choices. And one of the choices I make frequently is, do I want somebody who's smarter than me or do I want somebody who's dumber than me? The fact of the matter is everybody here is smarter than I am. And you really have to make that assessment. I think a guy who is both a narcissist and not so happy with himself chooses people who are inadequate in order to feel better.
Right.
I believe
right.
that he thinks that guys like Mattis and I'm forgetting the other, who's the, not Mattis, who's Pompeo and Kelly.
State.
And I think he feels
DNI
like.
DNI Coates, too.
Yeah.
DNI
yeah.
Coates.
Yeah, yes. I think he feels people like that are certainly smarter than him, certainly in their discipline. I think he does. I really don't think that any business. I don't think any really successful business person necessarily thinks they're the smartest person in the room. Yes, I know there are some, especially in the tech world, where, you know, they think they are.
Right.
But
he doesn't ever seem to consult them. He makes gut decisions, and then they have to go around and try and, I mean, the whole thing with this stupid parade. I mean, I think there was somebody at the Pentagon that really had to sabotage
that.
Yeah,
but he consults them
quietly.
On things like Korea and Russia and Homeland Security and things that are important. I don't particularly care about Korea. He's not listening to them on Russia.
He's are you
not,
kidding?
No, and he's not
is.
Listening to
oh,
them
stop.
On North Korea.
Of course he is.
Who did he consult before he just decided off the top of his head that he was going to go meet with
and look at the amount of groundwork that Pompeo did and to the point where they were able
after
to
he
actually
said
get,
I'm going to go see him
no,
now
he said I would be open
do what I need to
he
do
he said I would all be right. open to a discussion without preconditions and that's what ended up happening.
Okay, you can talk
okay.
about
one
that
more
in the
letter.
Parking
oh,
lot
yeah.
go,
yeah.
go,
true.
Go ahead.
But keep it but hold the champagne but keep it cold. Let's not let's
Port
not 10? Pop the cork.
Oh.
Not yet.
Wow, that could have gone a really bad way.
Yeah. it could have. Trump has shown an amazing ability to wriggle, bully, or trick his way out of tight spots before. That's all true.
Yep.
If you watch his business career, he did it again and again and again.
Yes.
Getting overconfident is only a recipe for disappointment and disaster for us, and that's from John in Half Moon. And he says, it's great to hear Rosemary's intelligent voice on the radio once again. And Robert says, if the prosecution is supposed to always win, why bother to have a trial? And then...
let's read that one again.
The prosecution is supposed. If you're bringing a case
you
that you don't think you're absolutely sure you're going to win, yeah,
they did win.
They won.
I'm not
did
saying
not
they
have
didn't.
To win on all 18 counts. I think I'm they not- overlar. I think 18 is too many charges to bring.
It is. And Jamie said, take a deep breath. Remember, Trump is still president, and the Republican Party is still disassembling all the protections the Democratic Party has been working on since the 1960s. Please remind the public, only voting can stop this administration's abuse of our civil rights and environment. Thank you, Jamie.
All right. Let's move on to other stuff, and we'll talk about, we just have about 5 minutes left, so we'll go to the light topic of the Facebook fake accounts. We heard yesterday from about Microsoft. Yesterday, Facebook said that they've identified new influence operations spanning the globe. Facebook said that it identified multiple new influence campaigns that were aimed at misleading people around the world, with the company finding and removing 652 fake accounts, pages, and groups that were trying to sow misinformation. The activity has originated in Iran and Russia. Mm-hmm. Facebook said that unlike past influence operations on the social network, which largely targeted Americans, the fake accounts, pages, and groups were this time aimed at people in Latin America, Britain and the Middle East, which I think we knew, right, that this was not just a U.S.
They did it in France. They did it in Great Britain.
This was a global effort.
Yes. And I guess one of the things that I've on my soapbox, and Rosemary, jump right in, is that, you know, many people get their news from Facebook. Why would you ever get news from Facebook?
I'm so with you on that. I'm so with you. People who say, I get all my news from social media, and I say, well, then you may be an idiot.
I get news all the time on Facebook, and I also read all
the things. But it's not your sole source.
It's one of several sources. But if you're going to have a sole source, Facebook is not the worst.
That's right.
You have all your friends saying, hey, have you seen this? Or the friends of friends say, hey, check this out. Or you get referred to a lot of different places that I never find any other way.
Yeah, but it's unvetted.
But why wouldn't wouldn't you stick to, I don't care whether it's Fox, ABC, NBC, CBS.
Well,
you know,
I
care a little bit more about Fox, obviously. But sample. I mean, go and find out Rick's point of view. And you might get that from the Wall Street Journal and Washington Post. And now you could do that on the computer. But people,
you can do all of it on the computer.
That's
people,
right. So
and if you start on Facebook and you just jump around, I read Breitbart. I have trouble reading and Matt Drudge, and then I go to The Guardian. And if you're on Facebook, you'll have friends, various friends and acquaintances, who point you to all these different things.
That is true.
It's not a source, like this is the only
thing
you
source, need. But it's a supplement.
Didn't we make
the same argument about The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, that people are getting their news from The Daily Show instead of getting their news from...
I think that's wrong, too. It's a comedy show.
But... you use the word wrong, and I have to take great disagreement with it. It is. The fact of the matter is, people are, like Rosemary, getting their news from Facebook. It's that simple. It isn't as if should, would, schmud. It is that this is a place where people go to get news, and we do survey research, and we do all of that, and we find out. So you better learn to live with it.
You know, where are you going to get? I'm a subscriber to my local newspaper. I love the Times Union. I've read it since I was a child. It's like 4 pages long, and 2 of them are sports. There's not a lot in it. You got to go to other places.
Yeah, and we all do. Look, you know, in a given day, whether it's the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, all of the websites, and I understand that people will find things on Facebook, but this whole idea that somebody says, wow, you know, I got all turned around on this election thing because of this thing I saw on Facebook, I'm sorry, I just don't have time for you.
Oh, I don't think it works that way. All I know is that, and I'm not biting the hand that feeds me here, but I will tell you that the story about Michael Cohen yesterday was on Facebook before it was on NPR.
And it's on Twitter before.
And by the way, Joe, as you and I both know, you as the grand poobah of programming and news around here.
Poobah.
as you and I both know, NPR is often very late to the game.
Yeah, but
they're very careful.
But late isn't necessarily bad, right?
No.
I mean, I understand late is bad when you're trying to put on a show from 9 to 12. But in terms of actually getting facts and having full accounts of things, okay, you have to wait an hour. Big deal.
Yes and no. On the other hand, Rich, when we're looking for a feed, you know, for a major press conference that's coming up.
Go to the Wall Street Journal.
No.
We're not sure they're
an NPR affiliate, and we count on them producing.
But we're news junkies. I mean, we have everything. I mean, I have the Wall Street Journal. I have CNN. Mm-hmm. I have Fox. I have everything. You know, and I think that's Rosemary's point too. I'm not putting words in your mouth, but you're saying Facebook certainly isn't your only news source.
No, I read everything.
Yeah.
And more people need to read more.
Well,
or
that's,
something.
That's,
I mean,
the point.
The number of people who say to me, I don't read news. It's like, okay, well, how do you know anything? I listen to my friends. Oh, that scares me.
Yeah.
I like Alan's turn on that, too, which is people say, you never talk about this, this, and this. And he goes, well,
how'd you hear about it?
How'd you hear about it? Right. Okay, we're out of time. My thanks to everybody.
Wow.
Rich, we'll see you soon. You'll be back.
Sure.
It's always touch and go with you.
It's very touch and go, yeah.
The negotiation process we have to go through, Sarah and I am getting rich.
I thought you did very well today.
Yeah, you did very good.
It's always intimidating when Rosemary's on.
I thought you would be more crushed. I have to say I'm a little disappointed.
I was just so happy to see you.
Oh, that's sweet.
All right.
He gave me pharmaceuticals.
Yeah. Now you will be.
I'm glad the world knows that.
With a very good line, by the way. You will be here tomorrow.
I will.
Excellent.
Great,
so that's
great.
Exciting. We got a good show tomorrow, too. Mm-hmm. Barbara, thank you very much for being with us. Nice to have you
welcome.
On for the program and be a part of our panel. Alan, we'll see you in a little bit, and we'll be back right after this.